Merry Christmas, and welcome to North Valley Church's Sermon Podcast. We are in our series titled Advent. If you would like more information on North Valley Church or our sermon podcasts, you can find us on our website at nvcmd.org.
So good morning again. Merry Christmas. I am blessed to live in a house here in Myersville. It's not far from the church. But the journey to get there was kind of crazy. I guess it was like we're in the 12 years ago. There was a dip in the housing market. Economy wasn't so good. There were foreclosures. And so Millie and I were trying to take advantage of, hey, let's see if we can get a house. So we were renting at the time, and we started shopping for houses. And, you know, the process is you look for a house, see if it's within your price range close, and you fill out a contract, and you submit it. So we had filled out a contract for a house, and it got rejected. And we filled out another contract for a different house, and it got rejected. We filled out a contract for another house, and it got rejected. Before we got this house, we did 18 contracts going for houses and getting rejected. That wears on you. In around the 13, 15 house mark, there was this house in Frederick that I was absolutely sold. This is it. I usually don't do this kind of thing, but I'm out there laying my hands on the house, right, praying, God, this is the house. I know you're going to get this house. You're going to make this stupid contract go through. And it didn't. That was hard. That was a hard season. We've done this a bunch of times. We've been rejected. You failed. You start to question, what the heck? Am I even trying to do this? What is going on? And if I were to describe myself, man, I was depressed for weeks afterwards. I had placed a whole bunch of hope in being able to have that house. We do that, don't we? We put our hopes in things. We put our hopes in the house that we want to have, and hopefully that works out. We put our hopes in job promotions and things working out, maybe getting a new job. We put our hopes in relationships, that if I can just get things to work out with this person, man, this will be a great thing for me. And when we put our hopes in things like housing contracts or job promotions or hoping we get that project done or relationships to give us satisfaction and fulfillment in life, when we put our hopes in those things, we are setting ourselves up for failure. We're setting ourselves up for disappointment. Because all those things, all those other people, they're not reliable. They might work out. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't have hopes in that, but if you put so much hope in that thing that you're depressed for weeks afterwards, maybe we had too much hope there. And there are other things, other people, more specifically a person, that we really should be setting our hope on. As we enter this Christmas season and we start to celebrate the Christmas, and we'll do the parties and lots of food and hope that all that stuff works out, the stuff that Santa hopefully brings us, right? We'll put our hopes in that. But man, don't forget about the baby in the manger. But that's really where we should be putting our hope. So as we do our Christmas series this year we're going to be just following a couple of weeks of the Advent season. There's other cool things that we could be doing as part of Advent, but I am interested just following some of the topics to think about things. So we're going to talk about hope today. Coming up, we're going to talk about preparation, joy, love. And on Christmas Eve, well, we haven't advertised it yet, but we're going to have a Christmas Eve gathering, and we'll be able to talk about the real reason for the season, Christ. Today, we're going to talk about hope. And I just want to lean into a short passage in Romans chapter 15. It's only a couple of verses, but it talks about hope, and it's just got so much weight in it. Romans 15, 12 through 13 says, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations. In him, the Gentiles will hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Man, such a weighty verse. I just want to hang out here for a little bit, and I want to pull it apart, and then we're going to dive into some of the things that at least I see when I'm looking at this little passage. So this is the book of Romans, from the book of Romans. It's written around 57 A.D., right? In 57 A.D., Paul is writing to the church in Rome, Romans, and he, in this passage, he quotes a guy named Isaiah. Isaiah is a prophet in the Old Testament who lived around 600 years before Jesus was born. So as Paul is trying to communicate present day to the Romans, he's quoting a guy who lived 600 years before. The guy who lived 600 years before Isaiah talks about some dude named Jesse. Could be Jesse Black. Maybe he needed a keyboard player for his band. Wow, y'all with me? Trix. So y'all maybe know where his Trix. Whatever. But he is talking about the root of Jesse. Right? Jesse is the father of David, a guy in the Old Testament, one of the greatest kings Israel ever had. And so when you see the root of Jesse, he's actually quoting from Isaiah 11:10. And in Isaiah 11:10, Isaiah is talking about the Messiah. And Isaiah is talking about the Messiah by referencing something that happened even 400 years before him. There's 1,000 years represented in that. Jesus didn't come in a vacuum. Jesus didn't come in the vacuum. Before Jesus was born, he had a history. The Old Testament is full of references to the Messiah. Paul is pointing to some of those references to stir the minds of the Romans and to stir our minds. Man, Jesus didn't come in a vacuum. He's got history in the Old Testament. The passage continues, one who will arise to rule over the nations. He's going to be king. It's funny, we don't see that right now, do we? Right? If we're followers of Christ, we personally accept Jesus as our king, but it doesn't look like he has asserted his earthly kingdom yet. It's coming. There's more to come. In him, the Gentiles will hope. Think about the word hope for a moment. The word hope implies a future perspective. The fact that we're talking about hope means I'm looking forward in time into the future. So in those little three lines that's on the screen, Paul is referencing something that happened 1,000 years ago that is speaking to something that has yet to happen yet, the future. Jesus isn't done yet. There's more work to do. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. We can be filled with hope. If you're a note taker and you got your outline, man, underline the word may and as you trust in him. Right? We can be filled with hope, but we might not. How we choose to follow Christ in this life, right now, am I in God's will or out of God's will, determines how filled I am with hope. We always have a relationship with God through the Holy Spirit that indwells us all the time. But our Holy Spirit tank can be full, our Holy Spirit tank can be empty. And it influences our relationship with the Holy Spirit and God. We do all that, Paul is writing that, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Think about your hope. It's contagious. We can be so filled with hope that it overflows to the people around us. We can be so filled with hope that other people notice it. You can influence a room with the hope you bring. You can change people's Christmas by the hope you show up with when you interact with them. We have that kind of hope as followers of Christ. That Jesus came and lived and died on the cross to pay the price for our sins, to heal the relationship we had with God the Father. And through his death and our trust, as you trust in him, as we trust in his sacrifice, our relationship with God for eternity is set. We're going to heaven. Yes! We get to experience some of that joy right now. We get to experience that hope right now. Because we also receive the Holy Spirit. And how we're communing with the Holy Spirit determines how that hope reveals itself in us. Cooler yet, Jesus rose from the dead 3 days later and said, folks, this is what it looks like. Here is resurrection from the dead. And I'm going to promise that to all of you so that we have an example of what our living hope is. Our hope isn't in a thing. It's not in just a regular human, it's in Jesus Christ, who's demonstrated that. And we can have a kind of hope this Christmas season that can change us, that can influence and change the people around us. And if you've never done that before today, if you've never made that step and said, man, I think I want to embrace that kind of hope because I'm struggling with the weight of all the stuff that goes on at Christmas. I'm losing my Christmas joy because I'm focused on all the things as opposed to the only one who can truly give us hope. And if that's you, man, let's do that today. Let's make a decision to put my faith and trust into who Jesus Christ is, that I need a Savior. I need someone to pay the price for my sins, to heal my relationship with God so that I can start to live in this kind of hope. If that sounds like you, man, let's talk about that today before you leave. You can come talk to me. You can talk to Pitt G, who was up here, who's running sound today. If you don't think you're able to stick around today and do that, you can send an email to info@nvcmd.org, and I will do my best to get back with you as quickly as you can to help you figure out what does forward look like. What do my next steps look like if I want to do and live in that kind of hope? So let's drill down into some of these things that Jesus has a history. His birth, Christmas, already had a history. That Jesus isn't done. There's a hope. There's a hope that we can have today because Jesus' work isn't done. That we can be filled by our choices today. We can be filled with God's hope so much that it can overflow to the people around us. Christmas had a history even before it happened. Jesus is speaking here in Luke chapter 24. He said to them, this is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Just hang in there for a moment. What is Jesus pointing out to his disciples? Hey, have y'all read the Old Testament, your Bible, your scripture that you talk about? It is full of references to me. The Old Testament talks about me. That's what Jesus is saying, not me. Dan doesn't talk about Dan. Jesus is making a point. Guys, don't leave the Old Testament because it's full of references to me. And he's encouraging them to go reflect on that because of the encouragement and confidence it's going to give them. Think about this for a moment. So there's a book called The New Evidence That Demands a Verdict by Josh McDowell. I don't have the full title. I forgot to bring the book out with me. But here's just a little statement out of Josh McDowell's book. Jesus fulfilled over 300 prophecies in the Old Testament. 300 prophecies. And there's a slide for that. Is there a slide for that? He fulfilled 300 prophecies in the Old Testament. The statistical opportunities for that are outrageous, that any one person could accidentally fulfill that many predictions in the Old Testament. So I want you to think about this for a moment. God has demonstrated at least over 300 times that he can make a prediction, that he can make a promise, and he can keep it. He can keep it. God is somebody we can trust. God is somebody who makes promises, who says how things are going to go, and then fulfills what it is that he's going to do. He is faithful. That gives us confidence. As we look for places to put our hope, God has already demonstrated through Jesus that he can do that. He predicted that Jesus was going to be born of a virgin. That's Isaiah 7:14. That was predicted hundreds of years before it happened. Here's the part that I just think is hilarious. God foretold that Jesus was going to be born in Bethlehem. They knew where it was going to happen. The wise men, you read Matthew chapter 2, the wise men show up to King Herod at the time and say, hey, we're looking for the Messiah, the king of the Jews who's going to be born. And they say, let me go check. And they checked the scriptures and came back and told the wise men, oh yeah, he's going to be born in Bethlehem. They knew. You want to look for yourself? Micah chapter 5, verse 2. It says, the Messiah is going to come out of Bethlehem. God can fulfill prophecies. If we want to have a place to put our hope, God's demonstrated. He's a place we can go. Think about your hope for a moment. You can put it into contracts on homes, new homes, job opportunities, job promotions, raises. You can put it in people, relationships, waiting for someone else to do other things. But your hope is only as good as the thing or person you put it in. If you put it into something that's not trustworthy, you're setting yourself up for failure. God's demonstrating to us in the history that we can see today, he is trustworthy. If we can put our trust in him and his son, he is faithful to fulfill. That's a place we can put our trust and our hope. Jesus' work is not done. Again, Jesus is speaking. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. We get to celebrate Jesus coming to the earth as an infant. And we have a great time doing it. But he ain't done. He came to this earth, lived around 33-ish years, died on a cross, rose from the dead, ascended to heaven, but he is coming back. There's a return trip. He's not done with humanity. Think about that. He's not done with humanity. He's not done. There's still more work to do. He's not done with North Valley Church. I'm so excited about what God's accomplished in North Valley Church over the last 2 years. It's unbelievable. Yeah, there is more to come. Heck, we haven't even finished the sensory room yet. There's more cool stuff coming. Jesus isn't done with you. Jesus isn't done with me. If we've got stuff we're struggling with, if we got stuff we just can't seem to figure out, if we got places we think that we're trying to get, but that somehow there's limitations or obstacles, Jesus isn't done yet. When you walk out of here for the rest of this Christmas season, I want you to keep a hold of whatever bumps in the road you hit. Jesus isn't done with you or me yet. If we're sucking oxygen, God's got a purpose for us. Jesus isn't done working. When we step into that work he wants us to do, we can be filled with the hope that comes with the Holy Spirit. The eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those whose hope is in his unfailing love. In Psalms 33:18. Think about that. Again, if you're a note taker, underline, for those who fear him. If we want that kind of hope that other people notice, if we want that, we've got to step into and live inside of his will for our life. That as we make choices through our day, God gives us an opportunity to live in his will. When we do that, when we do the things he wants us to do, when we don't do the things he doesn't want us to do, it puts us in a blessable place. We get to make blessable choices by being in God's will. Right? I like to talk about the Holy Spirit's work, that he heals us, he comforts us, he strengthens us, he guides us. But if you're living outside of God's will, you're losing all of that. You're squelching the Holy Spirit. And while he might be wanting to share those things, you're squelching his voice inside your head, inside your heart, and you aren't able to hear those things. For those who fear him, for those who trust him and are able to make choices to be able to follow his will, it puts us in a place that we can have that kind of hope. If we can do that kind of hope, if we can have those choices in our life and let God's hope fill us, it starts to overflow so that other people can see it. In your hearts, 1 Peter says in chapter 3, in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Think about that. So Peter's just saying, hey, make sure you know how to give a reason. But look at the premise of that verse. The premise of that is people saw that hope inside of us. You know what, folks? We have an opportunity to have a hope that's not reliant on the things of the world. The world doesn't. By having our life aligned up with Jesus Christ and being able to allow God's hope to fill us, the world is going to be able to see something in us that it doesn't have. They don't have access to the kind of hope we do. They will see it in us. And when they do, they'll ask. I've had people ask me, man, how can you endure all this nonsensical things at work, back when I was a computer programmer geek? And when they ask, I'm able to give them an answer. It ain't me. It's the one who lives inside me. If we can live in that kind of hope, we can be a witness, a light for the world who doesn't have that hope, who doesn't have that eternity to put their faith in, because they don't know who Jesus is. Where are we putting our hope? Are we putting it in things that aren't reliable, things that we know will fail, or are we putting them into the person, the only person, who will always come through for us, who's always there, and who loved us enough to die on a cross, who loved us enough to come to the earth in humility as a babe. That's who we get to celebrate this Christmas. I would like to ask the band to come up, and while they are, if you could just take a moment and bow your heads with me. And while I pause before I pray, because the herd's coming. Come on up, folks. And then we'll pray. And then we'll rock. Okay, I'm going to pray. Dear Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for the hope that you give us. Thank you for the hope that we have in you, hope that is trustworthy. You will never let us down. You will never fail us. You will never leave us. Lord, I pray that as we go through this season and we experience the roller coaster of the exciting things and the difficult things, that you help us just to be reminded. Those things are good. Those things are fun. But man, the place, the only place we can place our hope is in you. Help us be mindful of that this Christmas season. Help us be mindful of it. Help us live it so that those around us can see your hope living in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.